Hey guys, Bradley Dillon here for thenewfury.com today, and we're in wonderful Tampa, Florida, and we're actually here with some old friends of mine. They're on tour with After Their Burial right now, and you're going to want to check them out the rest of the tour, because they just put out a new album called Bloodwork, and I gotta say, it's pretty stellar. So, why don't you introduce yourself, what you do in the band, and what fantastic band you play in?
My name is JT Cavey, and I'm the frontman, vocalist, whatever you want to call it, for Texas in July.
So, first question for you. A lot of people know this, but for those who don't, you've got a new album out. It's called Bloodwork, and like I said, I've probably run through it a couple times. It's one of the better metal albums I've heard this year. I feel like you guys have experimented around a little bit with new stuff. What's different on the album than your previous releases, and did you guys experiment with any new stuff when you were in the studio recording it?
Definitely. The two most practical things I would say would be the lineup change. So you're going to have new people writing the material, so that's obviously going to make a change in the content. But the other thing that was big was we decided with this being their fourth full-length album that we weren't going to really restrict ourselves to anything. We're going to try whatever we thought was going to be cool. We incorporated pitch screaming in this album, and that was seen to be a big hit, so we're really glad that we didn't put any restrictions on the content, and I think that's going to be a big factor in the future and success of this band.
Yeah, because, you know, I was looking at some of the reviews I found on, you know, all the major blog sites, and I haven't really found a lot of people with anything, like, awful to say about it.
Even Metal Sucks gave us a pseudo decent review.
Yeah, and for a website like that, to you guys, it's just like, wow, probably not expecting
that. No, we weren't.
So, what if, obviously you've gotten good reviews from a lot of media outlets, but what have the fans said about it so far that they've really picked up on and liked about it?
Good things. It was our first week sales was the best that this band's have ever had, so on a technical level, I guess it was well received. But you're always going to get the people who miss the old vocalists, so the sound change may not please everybody, but we feel like overall we're stepping into new grounds that people will really enjoy and hopefully bring a fresh fan base as well.
Yeah, I remember seeing Texas in July with the old vocalists probably 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was on a tour with For Today, the Chariot. Miss Chariot so much. But I remember seeing the old vocalists and thinking, wow, this band is really good for being so young. And then seeing it, you know, I think it was one of your first tours on Warped Tour last year. Ooh. As a new vocalist.
It was a little rough, honestly. I mean, that was my first tour ever. So it's been a couple tours since then, so I feel like I've got a little more polished vocal technique and stage presence.
You know, when you basically got drafted into Warped Tour, were you nervous? Were you intimidated?
Oh my God, of course. I mean, my first show with them on Warped Tour was, I think, my 7th show ever as a musician. Wow. So previously it was smaller shows with a local band from Baltimore called Above All, and most of those shows were maybe 30, 50 kids, and half of them are your friends' bands that played before you anyway, so going from that to almost 500 on days on Warped Tour was quite a intimidating number jump. But the biggest thing that scared me was not really the fan size or the crowd size, but who else was watching. I mean, that's a tour with a lot of really big bands and really well-known musicians, so I wanted to make sure my presence was known in the best way possible. So very intimidating.
So when you got drafted to join the band, basically, how long did it take you to learn all the parts, all the lyrics and stuff like that?
Not too long. I mean, I spent 2 years doing covers on YouTube, and that's how the band found me. So I was used to learning lyrics quickly, and you could pretty much call me an encyclopedia of song lyrics. But I knew a couple tracks already, so going into the band, I knew half the set list already. But by the first day, I pretty much had it down as far as lyrical content. It's a lot different story, though, performing it live. I mean, you can mouth the lyrics along when you have, like, kind of a bass line, but when it's just you and the instruments, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, because I remember my friend Jordan from Kill the Music. Howdy, Jordan, if you're watching or listening, you probably are. I remember hearing about you through a lot of those vocal covers. And I don't remember which one I saw that really stood out to me, but I remember it being really good. And when I heard you joined the band, I kind of did a double take. why exactly did you decide to start doing those vocal covers?
Well, I mean, I was a student and a full-time employee for a job, and I always, like, joked around in my head. I don't even know if I even mentioned to my friends. I always wanted to be, like, a quote-unquote rock star. Like, oh, man, I want to be a rock star one day. It's a joke. I think everybody really says that. But all the music I listened to in the car had screaming, so naturally you kind of want to participate, and I feel like one day I decided that I wanted to make it like a thing, and because I think I remember, I don't know even what band it was, but I said to myself, hey, I don't sound too far off from these guys. Maybe I should cover it and give it a shot, because I had seen other people cover songs on YouTube before, and I always thought that was cool. And I just gave it a shot, and I got decent comments from my friends and other people, so I kept doing it, and it became a thing. So 2 years in, they contacted me, and it was all worthwhile. I mean, I really didn't even plan on being a musician, but when the opportunity presented itself, it was too good to be true, so I had to go for it.
Yeah, besides being on this tour and work tour and stuff like that, I know a couple months ago, I think, you guys played a really big tour over in Europe. What was it like for you, and what kind of places did you visit? I know Europe is architecture.
Yes, that was a really cool factor. You know, the cultural shock of, hey, we're in Russia. Like, you're seeing all the stuff you see in pictures. It was also really cool to go there as a musician. Like, I'd never been to Europe before. It was kind of humbling to know that I made it there to play music for people. But the biggest adjustment was kind of like, I guess the lack of a better term, the inconvenience of Europe. Like, you don't know any of the languages. You don't know where anything is. So it was hard to get adjusted to, like, find anything. But thankfully, we had really helpful people that work for the venue and promoters. They usually took good care of us. So obviously, we got by. But it was definitely a weird adjustment. It's weird going into a country or a place in the world, and you're the outsider for once. So that was quite an adjustment.
You know, and I talked to a lot of bands that are similar to you guys. You know, I remember talking to Andrew from Comeback Kid a while back.
Great band.
And those guys are always in Europe doing tours. And a lot of bands tell me it's the experience touring in Europe, especially, you know, like Eastern Europe, you know, Russia, maybe Ukraine when there's not crazy stuff going on there.
Right.
Stuff like that. It's, like you said, it's a big culture shock. How is touring over there different than, you know, going around the U.S.?
I mean, I don't want to sell our fans short in the U.S., but people in Europe go nuts at shows, and they don't, well, half the time, they don't even know the lyrics. They're just there to kind of rage and go crazy. I think it's a part of the fact that we're, you know, from out of country, so they find that cool. But I've noticed at festivals and shows in America, a lot of the time, it's a social aspect to the show. But in Europe, you got 10,000 kids at 1 p.m. going absolutely ham for the opening band. That just doesn't happen in America, I see. So it's just the mentality of going to see music is a little bit different. So that is definitely a good factor about traveling and playing in Europe.
I could imagine, because a lot of times, you know, if you have the same band that's touring around here a lot, like the same area, maybe, like, volumes is always around here. From California, I don't know how they get here so often, but I mean, kids definitely go crazy for them. But like you said, if a band is just always coming here instead of like a once in a lifetime event, you know, kids might not get excited for it.
It's like just a different, I can't put my finger on it. It's just a little different mentality. And it also depends where you go, because a lot of times you'll go to a country where the currency is different, and I mean, it may cost a t-shirt and a ticket may cost half a person's paycheck in another country, so that's another factor you have to worry about when you play in those smaller countries.
What do you think the biggest misconception or misconceptions are about being in a band?
That we're rich. It's not a lucrative genre unless you're selling out arenas. Like, there's a lot of hands in the pockets. I'm not saying we're super poor. I mean, we get by, but for people to like kind of assume that we're like driving Beamers when we get home, like, we all have jobs when we get home, and we all have bills to pay. So it's not all a glorious genre and lifestyle. It definitely takes a lot of commitment and sacrifice.
Now, when you're not on the road, you know, playing shows, and when you're not working and stuff like that, do you do vocal lessons at all, or does any of the rest of the band, you know, Adam, anything like that, do they do lessons and stuff like that?
Actually, I think Chris just started a band happy account. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about.
So that's a new thing we're gonna start trying. I don't know if Adam does drum lessons. I know he's talked to kids that come out to shows. We've done VIP packages before, and he'll do a little drum talk. But as far as like spending time or Skype lessons, we're a very busy band. We travel with just our band currently, so we don't have any crew. We're doing all of our own work, so that's a big factor of why we haven't really made time. At home, it's a different story. We might do a little bit at home, but this past year has been so busy with lineup changes, album recording. I mean, we don't really leave a lot of room in our schedule to make time to do that. It might change in the future. I hope it does, because I would like to get more connected in that aspect. At the same time, I've only been a vocalist for 3 or 4 years, so I don't want to give the wrong information to somebody. I love what I do, but I wouldn't say I'm a scientist when it comes to being a screamer.
I think that's really cool, because you'll see a lot of these guys on the road forever, and they're like, oh yeah, I've been a vocalist for 15 years, and I joined a band a few years ago. I think that's crazy, because they have all this experience, even though they've maybe recorded a few albums.
I'm always learning something.
Now, for Texas in July, can you give us a typical day as, like, not that every day on tour is typical, but, like, a rundown of what exactly you guys are doing on a typical day of being on tour?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. We're going to Pensacola, and we're in Tampa, so it's about 7.5 hours. We'll leave here after the show's over around 1, and we alternate drives, so one person will drive about 4 hours, and depending on the energy of the second person, we'll either park it somewhere, or the next person will drive, and then when we arrive, we'll station up at a friend's house or a Walmart parking lot. And we like doing that, because if we drive through the night and we have any troubles, we have all this leeway to make it to the show on time. And that way, when we wake up, we're where we need to be already. When we arrive to the city early, we'll maybe hang out somewhere if it's cool, hit up a mall or something to kill time, maybe go see a movie. We'll get to the venue around load-in time, which is usually 2 or 3 o'clock. Unload gear, set up merch, hang out a little bit, get some lunch. If there's any friends in the town, we'll try to see them. And through the show, we'll just kind of relax and practice and change and get ready and rock out. And then rinse and repeat.
Now, a couple more questions before we wrap this up, because actually After the Burial is probably done. But I got down to them. It's one of my favorite bands.
No worries.
But, yeah, and, you know, baseball postseason is here. I was actually just watching the NL wildcard game with my friend Trevor, huge Giants fan. You know, NFL, college football, full swing. Hockey's coming up really soon, I think next week, actually. Are you a big sports fan? Do you have any favorite teams, maybe?
I love sports, and I'm sure other members talk about sports, but we are, like, the least sports fanatic band probably of all time. I grew up as an athlete. But I was one of those kids that I didn't really have a favorite sports team or like a favorite player. I just loved sports. Like, I loved playing sports. And I was also one of those kids that I loved video games, but I hated playing sports games because I would rather just be outside doing it. But I can always appreciate a good match, like whether it's basketball, baseball, football. I played lacrosse and swam as a kid. So those two are kind of close to my heart. But I love being competitive. I mean, this is a competitive business as well, so I always get, you know, jacked up for a good sports event, or, you know, for anything that's competitive, really. I mean, we even have made time to go to see baseball games because it's just fun. It's a good social aspect, and we love rooting for whomever the home team is at the time. So, unfortunately, not super sportsy band, but we appreciate a good game for sure.
Well, before we wrap this up, you have any news you'd like to share with anyone who might be listening out there? Any news or like anything you'd like to share at all, really?
What's today, October 1st?
Yep.
We just announced a Canada co-headliner with Within the Ruins. So that'll be happening in November. And we have some more stuff coming up that's probably going to be announced hopefully soon. And I think last week or a week ago, we announced our first Europe tour of 2015 with Betraying the Martyrs, and that'll happen in February. So if you're in Canada, November's going to be a good month for you. If you're in Europe, February's going to be a good month for you. After that, more stuff in the works, more news to come.
All right, cool. Thank you for giving us some of your time today.
Anytime.
If you're listening to this, be sure to check out New Texas in July album, Bloodwork. It's in stores everywhere, so go pick that up. Aren't you guys selling it for like $5 on tour?
We're selling it for $5 because we just want everybody to have it. Normally we would sell it for a little bit more, but we'd rather have people enjoy it and rock out so they know the words and they can, you know, listen to it in the gym or wherever you guys like to jam your metalcore these days.
$5 is a pretty good deal for their new album, so if you're at a show, go pick that up and be sure to check them out when they're on that Canada tour, because Within the Ruins is pretty cool too. This has been Bradley Dillon and JT from Texas in July for the newfury.com. Later.